Welcome to Our Noble Challenge. Pastor Eric Koonin now leads us in the study of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his ministry partner, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one who correctly divides the word of truth." Today we invite you to join us in your copy of the Scriptures as we examine together the Word of God under the direction of Pastor Koonin.
It's a great message, isn't it? It really is the gospel of life, isn't it? That's our message today. It's the gospel of life. I think I can't overstate the importance and the value of the resurrection. I think sometimes there's a desire to just kind of get through it, and I think the temptation for a lot of churches and pastors today is to get away from the Word of God, not to be too deep, not to be too shallow. But sometimes we miss the boat, I hate to say it. I want to talk about life today. Is that important to you, your very life and existence? Is life in general important? When a baby is born, do you get excited? Oh, look at the birth of this child. There is life. We talk about creation. Do you ever notice the Bible really is kind of a book about life? It's a book about a lot of things, isn't it? We read in the very initial book of the Bible about how God gave life to Adam and Eve. And it seems to be the hallmark of His creation. He breathes life into Adam. There he is. He's a soul, a living soul. It's amazing. There is life on the earth. One of the great things about spring, isn't it? It's not just the warming of the temperatures, but it's really green out there, isn't it? It just springs with life, not to overuse the word, but everything is green. There is this picture of life everywhere. You see the little trees, you see the flowers. Life is everywhere. It thrills us, doesn't it? There's a thrill about life. The Bible speaks about life. I want to talk about life today. I want to talk about life particularly from the gospel. There is no life without Jesus Christ. First point today is Jesus. He is the resurrection and life. Would you turn with me to John 11, chapter 11, verses 20 and following? Isn't the Bible the word of life? Isn't it interesting? Bible says, holding forth, what? The word of life. It's about salvation. It's about how you can have life. The fascinating point of it all is you are going to find out from cover to cover that there is no life without Jesus Christ. Okay? That is something you need to take a hold of this morning. There is no life without Jesus Christ. The very fact that you are here this morning and you take another breath The fact that the Lord is keeping you alive, is it not? You got another breath right now because of the Lord. He continues to sustain life. We so often question, how can so many lives be snatched away? We heard about these earthquakes in recent history, right? Japan, I don't know how many people died. I never did hear the final total. Last I heard, it was at least 10,000 people. And I think in Haiti, over a year ago, it was over 100,000 people. Life. But you see, people fail to recognize, and they think in their arrogance that we deserve to live to be 110. But really, what keeps us going is the Lord Himself. And sometimes the Lord gives and He takes away. Blessed be what? The name of the Lord. He brings Adam into existence. We see He tells Adam to fill the earth. We find there's life. We find there's death as well, do we not? There is physical death and there is eternal death, is there not? There is life here on earth that is very temporary, is there not? The Bible says our life is like the grass that withereth in the field and it's cut down. Our life here on earth is like a vapor. We're here and we're gone. Life is temporal at very best. We're saddened when we hear about the birth and the very quick death of babies. We find out how sad we are when young people die. But we find our life is at very best temporary. But life belongs to the Lord. He is the life. And so I want you to think about life. Our message is the gospel of life today. I want to take you to the gospel today. I want you to see that without Jesus Christ, there is no life. Without His resurrection, we would all be in a heap of trouble. And it's really important. This is a very, very basic message this morning, and yet it has a depth to it in the sense that we need to see something that we miss very quickly. We are not giving away a card today in our service. We want to give you the Word of God. We want to share with you that there is life in Jesus Christ and His resurrection was so important. In John chapter 11, an interesting passage, we begin in verse 20. And this is shortly after Lazarus dies and Jesus wasn't there supposedly in time. You think the Lord ever misses an engagement, really? You think God is ever really late in His providence? Sometimes we think He is. Oh, where were you, Lord? Isn't that one of the questions people ask? Where are you, Lord? Where were you? God is always there. He is the God who is there. He is a God who never ever misses or is late for appointment, nor is He ever early. Lazarus is dead, his dear friend. A wonderful man, wonderful family, sisters Martha and Mary. They're mourning. Notice in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him, but Mary sat in the house. Boy, Mary was a bump, wasn't she? What is her problem, right? No, you got to understand, that's why we preach. Okay, we know Martha was very outgoing. She was not one to sit around. She was somebody that went to the forefront. This was a time of mourning. You got to understand the Jewish custom of the day. You were actually supposed to sit still and have people come to you and wait on you and comfort you. That was how the Jewish mind thought. When someone close in your family died, you were supposed to sit in the house and wait for comforters to come, and that's how the Jewish thinking was. We're going to come after someone dies, and we're going to mourn with you and give you comfort and give you help. How come Martha didn't sit still? She wanted to go see Jesus. She wasn't doing really exactly what mourners are supposed to do, but she wanted to see Jesus and talk to him. Well, what does she have to say to him? I'm always interested in what people have to say to someone. What would you say to Jesus? I'm afraid I would probably, knowing Jesus as I do, I would probably come groveling over and fall on my face, and I would be stuttering and stammering, and I don't know. I can't imagine, you know, the moment. Then said Martha unto Jesus, she calls him Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Is this a rebuke? A lot of people say, well, she's rebuking Jesus here at this point. I don't think so, okay? I don't believe this is a rebuke. You know what I mean by a rebuke? In other words, she's kind of letting him have it a little bit. You know, if you were here, what's the matter with you? Why didn't you show up when you should have? I think what Martha is sharing with Jesus at this point is really kind of just a point-blank statement. I know if you were here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. I know that. She knows that he is a healer, okay? But you notice in 22, but I know that even now, whatever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Is she asking for a resurrection here? My initial response looking at that is, well, it kind of seems that way, but I don't think so. Why don't you think so? Look at verse 39. Look at the answer. See what's going on. Why don't I think so? Why isn't it the case? Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha. The sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. I don't need to be real in your face this morning. You do realize that they weren't embalmed, that the weather's very warm in that part of the world. So what's going to happen about 4 days from then after somebody dies? Our body corrupts, does it not? It decomposes, so you understand the rest here. For he hath been dead 4 days. Well, she, in essence, says back in this passage, you're a healer, Lord, I know that, but I'm not sure you can give life. He stinks. Why are we rolling away the stone? I'm not really anxious to roll away the stone in front of his dead body because he smells by now. We know what happens after a certain period of time. If you were a Jew, even to this very day living in Israel, they bury people within 24 hours after they die. Even the big shots, even the head honchos. And so she is saying, Jesus, I know you're a healer, but she's not too sure about giving life, is she? You know, that's what a lot of people think today, don't you? People have a lot of misunderstandings about Jesus today. I guess I'm not really that disappointed anymore in the world. Tom McCoy was telling me about Earth Day on Friday, and I said, yeah. And he said, I heard more about Earth Day on Friday than the fact that it was Good Friday. Paul and I had made comment about that on Friday. Does that surprise you folks? It's like nothing happened. And then today on Easter Sunday, you know, I'm sure there's many people that don't even want to make mention of it, but they got to make some mention of it on the news. Am I surprised? Are you surprised? No, no, no. Jesus was a good man. I don't know if he did a whole lot of anything else. Back in that day, people said, well, he was a healer. Boy, yeah, he healed people left and right, but giver of life. And you see, this is kind of where we're at in this whole subject this morning. Most people do not think that Jesus gives life. You know that, don't you? It's kind of sad, isn't it? That's one of the things that we've got to talk about this morning. You see, the resurrection assures life eternal in Christ Jesus. Look at 23 and 24. Confused is what she seems to be about life in Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. You know what I mean? When was he saying this was going to happen? Now, it's going to happen right away, immediately. I'm going to raise him from the dead. What does she think? Well, she believes in a future resurrection. By the way, tonight if you come, I'm going to talk about some future resurrections. When are you going to raise from the dead if you die? When is your family going to raise from the dead? When will all of that happen? I will try to answer some of those questions this evening. Seems to be appropriate to me. Well, she is under the assumption, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. She knows that there's going to come a resurrection day, a great coming up day, when there will be a day when men and women will rise from the dead. She knows it will come, it will happen. She knows there are some Old Testament scriptures in regard to those things. And there are things that she had been taught in regard to a future resurrection. But she has no idea that Jesus can raise people from the dead. She has no idea that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No idea. You ever think about that? That Jesus continues to say he is life. We memorize verses like John 3:16, talk about eternal life. We talk about all of these passages. There's life only in Jesus Christ, only in Him. He had to raise again from the dead. It was important for your resurrection. It is important for your eternal life. You have no life apart from His life. Do you understand? You have no life to come. You have nothing to come whatsoever. In fact, Paul says, if you only have hope in this life, you are of all men what? Most miserable. You should be the most pitied people on earth. I remember somebody sang a song years ago about, you know, if only in this life we have Jesus, then I'm still so happy and joyous. And I said, that song is completely wrong. Everything is based on eternity. Yes, it's wonderful. But you see, I believe what the Scripture says. You're pitied. You know, you go through this life in the very brief span of time, and sometimes the Lord allows more suffering for the believer than He does for the non-believer, does He not? It's true. We struggle in this earthly existence sometimes. We thank the Lord, we have joy all the same, but there are struggles. But you are of all men most pitied otherwise. But I'm delighted to tell you that Jesus says He is the life. That is significant. I don't think we even understand how significant it is when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't think we understand how significant that is. He is the only provision. He is the life that you must have. He had to resurrect. I like what He says in 25 and 26. This is one of several I am's. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you understand that? He is calling Himself not only the life, but He's calling Himself what? The resurrection. I really become disturbed with people when some people think that they have an ability to resurrect the dead. I've heard a couple of people in my life say, I saw and heard this preacher say that this person, they resurrected him from the dead. I'm going to tell you something that really bums me out. They have no ability or power to do that. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you know anything about being dead in any sense in your life? Well, I had this one moment in my life. I want you to understand we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. Isn't that what we are told in Ephesians chapter 2? You mean to say He can breathe life into a dead soul? Yes. Because He is the resurrection and the life. And He can surely put life into a physically dead person if He can give life to a spiritually dead person. And that is you and me. We were spiritually dead. Here is the gospel of life. He puts life, eternal, in spiritually dead people. He makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He promises new life in Him alone. And you got to understand, here is the value. Here is the importance. Here is why we stand up and shout on the resurrection day and sing hallelujah to the Lord. Because He is the life. He has given a dead soul like mine life. I was spiritually dead in my sins. I was sick in sin. And yet He gave me life. That is the message. And I have life eternal in Jesus Christ, not eternal death. Oh, Pastor, are you sure? Yes. There is nothing more important, I can tell you, than there is life in Jesus Christ. Your good works are worthless. Your good name is worthless. That is not going to get you through heaven's door. Your religiousness, though you were brought up as a little child to sit in a church service, and you went all through all the things of religiousness through the course of your life and existence, and perhaps you were far more religious than me. But life is only in whom? Jesus Christ. You see, he has power over death. Isn't that what's important? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And you know what? He asks this to Martha. And I ask this to you again this morning. Do you believe this? Do you believe this morning? Do you really believe this? In your heart of hearts, do you believe you have eternal life in Jesus Christ alone? Do you believe that He is the provider of life for you? That is the big question. I like what Martha says. Yea, Lord. Oh boy, Lord, I believe that. What you have here is Martha's profession of faith. She hears all of this. He says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. I like confessions and professions of faith, don't you? Here's a wonderful one right here in Scripture. She believes there's life in Him alone. And though you are dead, He will give you life. And that is each of our testimonies today if you are saved. And so when Jesus says, believe thou this, do you believe this? Do you? Very quickly, in closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know what's great about, if you want to know as much as you can about the resurrection, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I like what Paul says here. He says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And what I want you to see is how interwoven the resurrection is in the gospel. This is the gospel of life. We preach the resurrection as well. But what if somebody believes that there is salvation in Jesus Christ but really can't believe in the resurrection? You know what the answer is, don't you? They're not saved. Their gospel is a gospel of death, but they don't see the resurrection. We never keep Jesus on the cross. We never keep Him dead. We serve a risen Savior, do we not? He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, He talks with me along life's narrow way. What is this gospel we preach? It's always about life. There's got to be a resurrection. He says, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, in which ye stand. I like that. I don't got time to preach on that. I got to get done here because I know you got big plans today. This is where we stand. This is where we're at. This is who we are. This is the gospel. You want the gospel? The basics? Here it is. He's by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. This is not about anything vain or empty. This is what we preach. We preach Jesus Christ crucified, risen again. That's the rest of it. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins.
Welcome to Our Noble Challenge. Pastor Eric Koonin now leads us in the study of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his ministry partner, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one who correctly divides the word of truth. Today we invite you to join us in your copy of the Scriptures as we examine together the Word of God under the direction of Pastor Koonin.
according to the Scriptures. Praise God, right? That's what we preached to you last week. And, verse 4, he was buried in that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. It's an absolute. So we come, and you notice what the rest of the time is spent with in verses 5 through 11. What's talked about? It's about the resurrection, about the witnesses. And you've seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the 12. Are these reliable witnesses? Do you ever realize, and I don't got time to really develop this as much as I'd like to, but do you realize when these people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they never ever sat on it? They went and they told other people. What would provoke people to go and tell other people about Jesus Christ? Leave everything they have in the world and go and tell everyone about Christ. To give of their very lives. The disciples, the 12, they died martyrs' deaths. People went out and they told other people to this very day, and you and I tell people about Jesus Christ. What would provoke us to do this? They knew there was a resurrected Christ. There's life in Him. It's a gospel of life. Scene of 500 brethren at once. You think 500 people can figure it out? That this is really Christ, of whom the greater part remain to this present time. Some have died, fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen to James, of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen to me also as one born out of due time. This has made him an apostle too. He saw the resurrected Christ. He says, I'm born out of due time. He says, for I'm the least of the apostles. He didn't exaggerate because he tortured the church. He says, I'm really not fit even to be an apostle. He says, I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. You realize that Paul worked harder than them all? Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. We preach the gospel of the resurrection. There is life in Christ Jesus alone. I left to you verse 17 up there. And it says, if Christ be not raised, what happens? Your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. If you're yet in your sins, you are dead. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. You are lost. You have no hope. You have eternal damnation. You will go to hell. But there is life, and this is the good news today. There is life in Jesus Christ alone. Is it important to believe that? Absolutely. I like what Romans 10:9 says in closing. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. What does that say? Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. You will have life in Jesus Christ alone. And there we stand. It is a gospel of life. Praise God today. Do you know Him? Do you believe that? Just like what Jesus said to Martha, do you believe this? What a great day today. We serve a risen Savior. Are you provoked to live for Him today? Perhaps you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Go to someone. Talk to someone that can tell you the plan of salvation. Come to me. Don't leave this place today without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Oh, Father, now, We thank you for the life that we have in Christ Jesus, even eternal life. Thank you for saving us from eternal death. Thank you that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, victorious from the grave, that all of these things might be consummated, that we might have life. O Lord, we pray even now that we might leave this place rejoicing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Our Noble Challenge. Our Noble Challenge is a production of Berean Baptist Church. Pastor Eric Coonan and the congregation of Berean invite you to join us when you can for a service of worship at 10:30 Sunday mornings. If you're interested in the Sunday school hour, you may show up at 9:30. We are located at 12985 Tollgate Road, Pickerington, Ohio, 43147. You can also reach our office by phone at 837-5204 or join us on the web at BereanBaptistChurch.com. Berean spelled B-E-R-E-A-N, BaptistChurch.com. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.